Page 30, My Story, Differences in Cultural Attitudes Toward Blindness and Literacy, Tuan Nguyen. Once again, we have an article from Tuan, immediate past president of the California Council of Blind Students. He is completing physics studies at Sacramento State and plans to pursue graduate work in environmental geochemistry with an emphasis on biomaterial contaminations. Page 31, currently he works with the California Department of Rehabilitation as an individual service provider tutoring math and science in Nemeth Braille on a periodic basis. Born prematurely in Vietnam on October 10, 1985, I am an only child and had numerous developmental challenges as a boy. My reading ability during the childhood years was affected not only by blindness coupled with moderate hearing loss, but also due to the lack of high-quality education for blind and visually impaired students in Vietnam. When I came to the United States in August of 1993, my education and literacy improved very gradually, and today I have made substantial progress in reading and writing skills necessary for my academic and future/personal and career goals. Ironically, my failure in literacy turned into a success. Vietnamese culture beliefs on blindness are very negative and bitter. Government officials do not think blind individuals possess potential, do not believe they're capable of living independently, do not believe that they have the ability to learn competitively with sighted peers on the basis of equality, and do not think that they can explore/pursue a variety of career endeavors. Page 32. Rather, the Vietnamese society thinks the disabled, including the blind, should be kept under supervision and be told what to do. Boldly speaking, they think we're completely broken. The only available jobs for the physically and visually impaired, ranging from the young to the elderly, are really nothing but selling lottery tickets and, even worse, working as laborers in unimaginably dangerous industrial settings. For disabled children in Vietnam, literacy is extremely limited. During my early childhood, I faced numerous personal challenges in the area of basic reading and writing. Because of the combined visual and hearing deficits, early childhood education was extremely difficult. No such concept as reasonable accommodations such as Braille existed. But worse, there was no societal expectations on my future potential and my joy of having an independent, productive life. I was completely isolated from the general education. At 5 and a half, my parents, who treated me like a golden child, placed me in a Buddhist elementary school, hoping that it would provide some training for the visually impaired kids. But sadly, it did not. So my parents, who were quite determined about my education, had no other options other than re-enrolling me back into the general school system. Page 33. From this point on, I did not learn anything at all. I will never forget a terrible experience when a mean teacher tried to force me to read because he thought I could see. One early afternoon, the class was asked to read a children's poem and write a short reflection. While my classmates were doing their work, I was sitting doing practically nothing but sliding my little hands across a flat sheet of paper containing words that I could not read. A short time later, the teacher came up to me and said, "Why are you not doing your work?" I told him that I cannot read the poem, and then he angrily pulled me to another private room. In a very angry voice, he said, "Of course you can read this." I tried, but I could not. He immediately left the room for a brief moment, and he returned, handed me a paper and a pen, and forcefully demanded I write anything, adding that if I accomplished nothing in 20 minutes, I would be beaten. In that time frame, I drew ridiculously wavy-looking lines, shapes, and so forth on the paper, because I did not know how letters look like visually, or even how words are like in my mind, for that matter. Page 34. I was such a complete failure. When he came back, he examined my paper and said abusively, "What is this kid?" lashing with a wooden stick on my arm and head a dozen times. He ended by saying, "You need to get out of this school and go home and perform child labor. This place is not for you." When I immigrated to the United States with my family in August 1993 as political refugees, my life transformed completely with special attention to my literacy. Around the age of 9, I was enrolled in Sutterville Elementary School in Sacramento, which provided special education with an emphasis in teaching visually impaired, including Braille literacy. I was very nervous to be in a completely new academic environment and was having a hard time making new friends because I didn't know how to speak or understand English. I was isolated for most of the time in school, except when I was taught one-on-one by a special education teacher who had a specialty in Braille training for non-native blind children. I learned how to read children's Braille books, textbooks, and write Braille on an old-fashioned heavy metal Braille writer, better known as Perkins Brailler, which I still keep as a personal memento inside the fancy glass case display at my home museum. Page 35. Today, blind children are taught Braille on modern, state-of-the-art Perkins Brailers, which are lighter and highly efficient, and they're high-quality Braille books. Generally speaking, my reading and writing skills were extremely poor in the very early stages, meaning that I did not know how to produce simple, coherent English sentences. Furthermore, my speech was unquestionably deplorable. I was given intensive English speech training several days per week because the teachers and school administrators were extremely concerned about my language and social development. The speech training had several stages, including learning how to fluently pronounce a variety of some elementary one or multiple syllable words and orally learning how to read short passages with accuracy, flexible rate, and vocal variations, as well as utilizing verbal communications during a given social atmosphere. At first, it was not very easy for me. However, over time, with determination and intensive practice, my social and speech skills improved to a great extent. Page 36. At around the age of 11, after more than 2 years of intensive training in both written and verbal English communications, I had made some significant progress. I was able to write simple, understandable sentences in Braille. My reading, including reading comprehension, had improved to some degree, and my speech had improved to about 55%, meaning some people still had trouble understanding my speech. Moreover, my social skills had improved, meaning I was able to make new friends and to have fun with them. Despite the weakness in the domain of fundamental English literacy during my early adolescent years, I exhibited a strong skill in the area of mathematics, basic science, and putting together models. For example, I could perform rudimentary mathematical operations with ease and was able to execute hands-on scientific experiments for children, such as generating electric circuits with hot dogs and making liquid nitrogen with ice cream, all of which were so much fun. Furthermore, even today, as an adult, I am great at and completely in love with putting together a variety of objects, especially robots and naval warships, building from fancy model kits of some top brand, such as Italeri and Tamiya. Page 37. As of today, I have several ship models on display at my home museum, such as USS Missouri, USS Nimitz, USS Enterprise, among others, and I plan to build more as a personal hobby in the near future. My deep attraction to building models unquestionably helped in the successful development and growth of my critical thinking and problem-solving skills. Now I'm pursuing my undergraduate studies in physics with a minor in mathematics, my two favorite fields. On the other hand, reading frequently on a regular basis helps my writing substantially. For one thing, I enjoy reading novels such as The Catcher in the Rye, The Old Man and the Sea, famous memoirs such as My Life by Bill Clinton, Decision Points by George W. Bush, and I love reading and keeping up with the latest news and commentaries across the nation and around the world through various popular newspapers and magazines. I firmly believe that constantly reading enhances one's overall writing and critical thinking skills greatly, thereby making one totally an informed, intelligent contributor to our dynamic, multiculturally complex society. Page 38. Despite personal challenges, which remain today, I'm doing substantially better in terms of academics, literacy, community involvement, and daily living. Certainly better than if I'd remained in Vietnam, where I was treated like a slave. My deepest gratitude goes to my parents who helped me not only overcome that painful ordeal at elementary school, but who also supported me in facing numerous challenges from the time we immigrated to the U.S. to when I became a successful adult today. In ironic terms, my dismal failure as a child turned into a success as a blind adult. As of this writing, I am currently finishing my undergraduate degree and simultaneously actively involved in numerous groups and organizations, such as the Buddhist Foundation, ACB, and CCB, where I have been active for over 10 years. Furthermore, I worked at a couple of summer jobs where I taught blind children how to read and write Braille, discussed with them how to cope with daily challenges as a blind/visually impaired person, and acted as mentor. I'm trying to live up to the high expectations of one of my teachers who was proud of my accomplishments. I am working hard to obtain the best college degree possible, and then I can procure the best employment where I can confidently compete with others on the basis of equality, thereby earning the most decent salary for building a family and becoming a valuable contributor to the American society. Specifically speaking, a financial contributor to my beloved blind organizations of ACB and CCB. Because I am not comfortable residing in an urban environment where there is a lot of criminal activity, population overcrowding, and environmental pollution, I dream of owning a 5-acre farmhouse and land on which I can raise my favorite animals and plant fresh organic vegetables. And finally, where I can enjoy my own freedom of applying my well-developed literacy skills.